Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Monday morning. It's the 23rd of May. Very nice to have you with us. It was hopefully you had a lovely weekend. There's no reason there were maybe a raindrop or two, but for the most part, everyone should have just had a lovely weekend. It was very nice, and I hope you did. And if not, we're here to cheer you up. We have a lot to talk about, a lot going on, and we'll get to that in just a moment. A reminder that you can email us, and as we will all say in unison, we love your letters.
Yes, we do.
Okay. not so much in unison, but what the hell. This morning, we welcome WAMC's Alan Chartow. Good morning, sir.
Hello, I'm back here from the Batcave.
Very nice to have you back here in the in Studio Central. Corporate attorney Rich Honan joins us this morning. Good morning, sir.
We love your letters.
Yes. Thank you.
Sorry, was I late on that?
A little late, but that's fine. Okay. It works. And political consultant Libby Post is back.
Yes, from Library Vote Land.
Oh, I thought you were traveling with Rosemary.
What were the? No, no.
I thought you were in like Jordan or something.
No.
Okay.
No, Ripley.
Believe it or not,
Ripley Library won its district vote, and Skaneateles won its funding vote, and they will both now be financially secure as we move forward.
Taking on the world one book at a time.
Right.
Libby, thank you very much. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
We enjoy your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Let's get into topics at hand and what is going on in our world. And let's begin with... my computer just stopped. Let's begin with this thing I can't bring up. The drone strike, and talk about what happened over the weekend. The Taliban chief targeted by drone strike in Pakistan, signaling a U.S. shift, is the headline in today's New York Times. After months of failed Pakistani efforts to broker peace talks with the Taliban, an American drone strike against the leader of the Afghan militants signaled a major break with precedent as the United States circumvented Pakistan in an effort to disrupt the strengthening insurgency, according to officials on Sunday. And there were some a swirl of reports over the weekend as to what was done, what was not done. And then finally, early this morning, the White House confirmed that an American drone strike in the province of Pakistan killed Mullah Akhtar Mohammad Mansour, the leader of the Afghan Taliban, calling the death an important milestone, President Obama said in a statement released just as he was meeting with top officials in Vietnam. Alan, you first.
Well. You don't want to go to war. You don't want boots on the ground.
Right.
These miscreants are getting away with murder.
Certainly.
If you do something, there are going to be casualties surrounding the people that you're targeting. Because these cowards are always using other people to, you know...
Human shields,
one way or the other. So from where I'm sitting, there's just no question that you have choices to make, and this is not a bad choice.
I agree with you. And I think we might all agree on this one. But
are we talking, you agree on the use of drones in general?
Yes. And, you know, we've put our boots on the ground, and our kids are getting killed. And we see their strategy is to use human shields. And so... yes, sometimes mistakes get made, like the hospital in Afghanistan. That was a horrible mistake. But when we can take out these guys one at a time, weaken their political structure, weaken their terrorism network, it's better for the world. And I think we need to look at this from a global perspective, where we're dealing with people who would like to see our way of life totally destroyed. And I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about the Taliban, the folks who, and Al-Qaeda, and ISIS, and the folks who would like to see Western civilization wiped from the map.
Well, I think drone strikes as part of an overall effort are helpful, but I don't know that. I got to tell you, I don't know that the drone strikes have done much good in lieu of the other things that we could be doing. I don't see where global terrorism has.
And I don't mean this as a, but what, what are the other things?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Wars, fighting, boots on the ground, increased diplomacy, supporting the right regimes while not supporting the wrong regimes.
Who are the wrong ones again?
Iran.
It's all so fluid.
Saudi Arabia?
It is all so fluid. To figure out who is the right and the wrong regime.
All the better reason not to restrict yourself to one fairly, really low impact offensive maneuver. I think that drone strikes should be part of the overall strategy. But if you're trying to demonstrate to me that somehow the Taliban is weaker than it was, you know, several years ago, or that global terrorism has been reduced from several years ago, or that we have a better hold on the Middle East than we did several years ago, I'm not sure that I buy your argument.
So, Rich Honan, we just want to make sure we got this right. You are for boots on the ground.
I am for fighting terror. If we decide that we want to fight terrorism globally, and I'm open to a discussion on truly, I'm not being sarcastic. I'm open to a discussion of whether we really want to do that. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. But if we do, then I think that we should not restrict ourselves to one mode of offense. So the answer is yes. If we decide that that's what we want to do, to fight terrorism, then drone strikes, boots on the ground, again, diplomacy, you know, some kind of coherent strategy, I think would be more effective than, you know, lobbing drones every once in a while.
So let me enter into the equation this article from the Washington Post this morning, the foggy numbers of Obama's wars and non-wars. As the Obama administration prepares to publish a long-delayed accounting of how many militants and non-combatant civilians it has killed since 2009, its statistics may be defined as much by what is left out as by what is included. Release of the information was first envisioned 3 years ago this month as part of a new strict guidelines that President Obama announced for the U.S. and their controversial use of drones and other forms of lethal force to battle terrorism. Such operations, Obama said in a 2013 speech at the National Defense University, would also be subject to new transparency and oversight. The death tolls, like the guidelines, will cover places where the United States conducts airstrikes but does not consider itself officially at war. Yemen, Somalia, and Libya. They're likely to exclude Pakistan, where the CIA has conducted hundreds of drone strikes, but which the administration has long labeled part of the Afghanistan war theater. The United States still does not publicly acknowledge CIA attacks inside Pakistan, although the Pentagon announced Saturday that it had targeted Akhtar Mohammed Mansour in Pakistan.
So if a Republican administration came out with a statement like that, or had a strategy that resulted in a story like that, everybody would be up in arms. In 2012 or 2013, we said we were going to be transparent, and we still don't have any numbers on it, the way we count it, the way we define it. But it sounds like just business as usual.
Well, we love you, Rich, but you're just wrong. I mean, the last thing we need are more boots on the ground. Those are strategies which have not worked. When you say they will work, they don't.
It didn't. Mm-hmm. It didn't work in Iraq. It didn't work in Afghanistan.
And the
other part of this is that people like cast aspersions at the present president's foreign policy and no numbers and blah, blah, blah. No one even raised these issues under the Bush administration. Nobody even questioned what they were doing. They all were like, no problem. He's a Republican. He's
well, when you say, well, you say nobody.
I think the left was pretty active.
I think the left did. But,
you wouldn't call me left, would you?
Well, yes. But, what I'm saying is, you know, here we have the Republican crank machine raising these issues and attacking Obama, where if it was Bush in the White House, they'd be saying he's doing a great job. Thumbs up. That's all.
But the press wouldn't, Libby. That's the big difference.
I disagree with you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I miss all the pro-Bush press during the 2008 election? Because I thought that was the year that the entire press decided it was time to elect a Democrat.
Yes, but I'm talking about during his 8 years in office.
I think you won that argument.
I'm talking about his 8 years in office while he waged war in Iraq, a stupid war in Iraq.
A lying war.
A war based on total fallacy.
So you two guys and Trump, same room. Okay.
Oh, please.
Keep going.
Oh, please.
I'm sorry. How does your view differ from Trump's view on that?
I have no idea what Trump's view is on that today.
Right.
I said today.
It changes every day.
No. Trump has always been very strong. In fact, he said it during Republican debate.
No
stupid war, bad decision, wouldn't have done it.
Yeah. Okay. Even the president.
I'm just trying to understand who's on
his
side.
Even the president who started it said he did it with bad information.
Oh, absolutely, and we know that. But
he's a lying liar.
Yeah, but I just take exception to Libby's statement that somehow there was no opposition to this.
Let me just throw this out, which is that at the time that this announcement was made by the president that there would be this transparency, we all in this room. We didn't let you in then,
right.
but all of us in this room then said, I believe that okay, but isn't that going to be hard to have transparency when you A are trying to be to have a military secrets number one, number two, to it just seems fraught with difficulty in determining who did what when. I just remember that conversation 2 or 3 years ago as to just the whole fact that we would be able to do this would be difficult. So I guess if there is fault
Agreed.
That I have with any of this, it's just that the notion that you could have transparency
right.
when it comes to these very subjects.
So I agreed. So why did he announce it?
Well, I think we said at the time that it was a mistake, but now we're looking at numbers that are coming out and as to what those numbers will be, and because obviously, people are calling him on it, right?
Yet at the time, apparently we had no problem with there being transparency as to, the deployment of our troops and when we were going to start moving people out of affected theaters. That apparently we were fine being open about and giving timetables and calendars. I probably agree with you. I don't know that we should be. That we should be talking about it, but then don't announce announce an initiative like that.
You're good. Okay. Thank you, Rich. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. We'll continue our conversation. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.
Support comes from Waka Waka, offering solar-powered flashlights and phone chargers that provide light and power to people who don't have access to electricity, no batteries or outlets needed. Share the sun, waka-waka.com. Oakwood Friends School, Poughkeepsie, an independent college preparatory boarding and day school for grades 6 through 12, dedicated to creating a dynamic community of learners since 1796, oakwoodfriends.org. Saratoga Hospital, now offering 3D mammography technology for early detection of breast cancer, saratogahospital.org for information. And from Northshire Bookstore, presenting Roberta Kaplan, author of Then Comes Marriage, United States vs. Windsor, and The Defeat of DOMA, May 25th at 6 p.m. in Saratoga Springs, New York, northshire.com.
All right, we have a few moments before we go to BBC News at the bottom of the hour, so we have a few moments for letters.
Okay, Kenny says, yes, Alan. No, that was somebody else who said that. Dan said, yes, Alan, you're left. Let's see here. Kenny, if this thing would come up, but it's really... Okay. Kenny says the press wasn't lined up to elected Democratic president. They were just accurately reporting what was clearly a lack of qualifications to be president in Bush. We have to stop judging the press based on left and right. We need to get back to true and false. Best from Kenny. And John said, Libby's got it. Rich was wrong. During the Bush administration, criticizing the war was decreed as treason. Well, the majority of the press kowtowed to the White House. And Christopher said, our present strategy represents the electorate's general desire to do something about ISIS and the Taliban, but not to actually expend any blood or treasure on that thing. Rich's desire to kick the Whitney's nest again is not a common sentiment.
May I just remind our listeners real quick that one per customer... Because we're seeing like 8, 9, 10 letters from the same person.
Did I do that?
No, you're okay.
Okay. Julius, sorry, I'm in total disappointed by the panel's comments on fighting terrorism this morning. Where is the strategy for ameliorating the root causes for individuals joining these groups? I'll give you a clue. It's not diplomacy. And Marcia says, good morning, panel. I was somewhat on the fence about drone strikes before I saw the movie Eye on the Sky on Friday night. Having now seen it and I realized it was fictionalized, I was sad to see the seemingly detached behavior on the parts of the military and political leaders regarding the decision to strike a building housing terrorists. The term collateral damage was bandied about casually. Casually, okay. And Tony says, the notion that because Trump says Iraq incursion and lie-based war was a huge mistake doesn't mean anything. Anyone on the panel embraces anything else Trump says. No, this one I'm not going to read because, Ed, we don't read words with character assassination. We just won't do that.
Fine.
Let's see here. And so don't write again. Megan, we love your letters, though. Megan says, good morning and happy Monday. I do not like the term boots on the ground. These are human beings, men and women, with families and friends. I don't know who started, but let's not get into the habit of dehumanizing individuals fighting in the war. That's Megan.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that.
I don't disagree. I blame the first time I remember really hearing it was Condoleezza Rice. And then everybody jumped on it, and I agree with that.
I'm going to pause you there, sure, Alan. We're going to go to a break, and we'll be back. We'll have more letters. We'll have more discussion. We welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Rich Honan, and Libby Post make up our panel this morning. And, of course, your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Rich is dancing in the aisles. It looks good. We have a lot of letters. We'll get to some more of those in a minute. I want to move and get to some other topics here because we have many other topics. And I want to get to those, too. But we do want your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. This happened on Friday, so I bookmarked it and made sure that we brought this story up. Governor Mary Fallon of Oklahoma vetoed a bill on Friday that would impose felony charges on doctors who perform abortions, calling the measure vague and unconstitutional. Ms. Fallon is a conservative Republican with a strong record of supporting restrictions on abortion, which she emphasized in a statement announcing her decision a day after the legislature had passed the bill. On Friday on this panel, we were assuming that she would not take action. And so when it actually came down that she vetoed it.
No, I actually thought, but I thought we were all over the fact that it was not a real bill.
Right.
Right.
Right. We were all on that.
Yes, absolutely. Well, good.
That's a win for the panel. I put that in the W column. I think we called that. We knew that was not a real initiative.
Well, really something's going to happen. It doesn't really matter whether it's a real initiative or not. What it does is it brings to the fore once again these outrageous challenges to a woman's right to choose and reproductive freedom.
I say good for her. I mean, really, you got to give her some credit.
I think you have to give her credit.
Oh, me too. Yeah. You know, I think what she did was great, but again, you know, we keep seeing over and over and over again these challenges to something that's constitutionally guaranteed.
But to Rich's point, I don't think she would have done it if she had seen that it was completely unconstitutional.
Yeah, I don't know if there's more in store for her, but I don't. This sounds like a softball that somebody just lobbed up there for her, so almost like she could establish her. I don't know her bona fides, you know, with women or something. I don't know, but they made the bill so unpassable that it's like she can't lose much with her core by vetoing it, and she maybe seems to get some political bump. So I feel like there's more that we will hear on
I'm going to give her credit for what she did. I think that in a conservative state, when you can't be out conservative. She did the right thing, and she may pay for it, and it may prove to be a little bit of a profiling card.
Well, I agree that she did the right thing. I just think that, you know, there is something inherently misplaced in some of these legislators' minds if they think that this is the right thing to do. You know,
politically they do.
Right.
Libby.
I know politically they do, but the right to choose is constitutionally protected, just like marriage is now constitutionally protected. I know that this is an issue that's going to continue to be brought up over and over and over, and they're going to, people are going to try to whittle away this right to be able to control your own body. And that's really what this is about, you know. And women across the country, I mean, now there are places where women have to cross state borders in order to be able to get reproductive health care. Planned Parenthood is demonized, and yet only 2% of all of its activity is abortion related. You know, we have to stand up for women here, and this bill just reinforces what the radical Christian right has been saying, that abortion should be illegal. It's always a bunch of men saying it. And the fact is that it is legal, and it's going to stay legal, and it needs to stay safe. Otherwise, women are going to die.
Okay, so I have a question for you.
Go right ahead.
What if Donald Trump wins, and right now it looks like he may, and he puts the conservative justices on the Supreme Court, that he says, don't tell me it's legal,
no,
and it's always going to stay
no kidding.
Legal.
That's the problem here. That's the problem with the Trump presidency. You know, he could very well put a number of conservative justices on there, and marriage would go by the wayside, choice would go by the wayside, public education would go by the wayside. We would become even more of an oligarchy than we already are.
Okay, I think you just changed your mind.
About what?
Well, because you said it's established law, it's going to stay.
It is right now, and given the makeup of the courts right now.
Okay, I won't belabor it.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
All right. we'll agree on that then. Before we go to some more letters and a break in just a few moments, I do quickly want to... have you all weigh in on, we haven't talked about this issue. We talked about it with Rosemary several weeks ago, and then I don't think we've talked about it since, of the British plan to leave the EU and the immigration backlash at the heart of this, according to the Washington Post. And it's a really interesting story in regards to, of course, this has been going on for a long time. And we talk about polls, but when it comes from a referendum, that's about 50-50 of how people feel of whether Britain should or should not be a part of the EU. Mm-hmm.
Is the Post, Joe, is the Post the, is that the liberal Washington paper, or is that the other?
Post?
The Washington Post is the Watergate paper,
right.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the Washington Times is the Moon.
Right, it used
Sun
to be
Yun,
Sun, it's, owned by Sun Yung
and Moon,
and
right.
It's okay. Almost like Fox News.
Okay.
What's the name of that song, The Sun and the Moon?
Yeah.
Ethel Merman.
I got The Sun in the Morning and the Moon.
Ethel Merman.
Anyway.
Don't sing, please.
somebody has to belt it out.
It's
then,
interesting. They bring the immigration question in to
that's
to
what
the,
it is, to, and that's what it is all over the world.
Right.
Well, maybe I know a couple of years ago when I think, you know, having to bail out Greece was not something that really helped helped them over in England, right? And you know bailing out the failing countries doesn't help.
Well, what are you going to do? I mean, you know, people don't want to see others. There. We know it. Right. It's a big part of the Trump constituency.
But you know, Alan, you say that, but you know, look at even Joe, do we have time or no?
Go ahead.
I mean, look at even the numbers that you're talking about, even in the EU, you know, where you guys are, you know, the EU that is so quick to say everybody else is xenophobic and everybody else is anti-immigrant. What was their big plan in September? How many refugees did the entire EU decide to take? 160,000? Out of 6.5 million internally displaced people in Syria, the EU decides in their big gesture they're going to take 160,000, which they later cut down to 120,000, which is like a third of the amount of undocumented people we take every year.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter. It's a gesture.
Wait. I waited to the end of your sentence.
Okay.
Now, if you'd be so kind to just wait to the end of mine, which was, and I'll tell you when it's there, when we've arrived at it.
yeah, just wait. Just take a nap now.
There'll be a buzzer. Go ahead.
But in fact, it doesn't matter what the logic is. What matters is the way people feel about it, and that's the point. You can argue that they were going to take more people, and then now they're taking less. You could argue that there really aren't that many people. But there's an election at stake here, and that election may be won or lost by popular perception.
Agreed. I think, but part of this is also there's a way in which the liberals within the EU speak, which is we have to do this, and now that the reality of actually paying for things, the reality of it actually maybe affecting your life, now suddenly people think about it in a different way.
But well, Mitch, what happens if England decides to remove itself based on this perception?
What does happen? That's my question. What does happen? Does the EU fall apart? Well, does Europe fall apart?
If you are listening to Barack Obama,
I'm not.
Surprise.
And by the way, neither is England, because the Prime Minister of England had to kind of talk his way around that when Obama decided what was it called, a monstrous interference by English politicians. So I'm not, and neither are they. But go ahead.
No, I'm just simply saying there are those people who believe it would be a disaster if this occurs. And everything I'm reading leads me to the same conclusion.
But what does a disaster mean? Does that mean
financial disaster? It could really badly impact the world financial balance because the economic union has worked so well to bring that part of the world back up in economic status. And look, I was there. I was there in France for the attacks. I saw how porous those borders were. There was no asking for passports. There was none of that. And while for that particular time it was a little strange coming from the United States where, you need to show your papers to get in or out, I understand what they're trying to do there in terms of creating a stronger economic base for all of Europe. And if Britain pulls out and they're one of the stronger economic partners, it will definitely undermine the financial foundation of Europe, which won't be good for us. It's not going to be good for us.
I certainly think, yes, there will be some upsetness and rockiness. But, as we're puttering along, it's somewhere between 0.5% and 1.5% growth, whether it's here or in the EU, as, we're frantically bailing out, whether it's Greece 1 year or Puerto Rico another year.
Puerto Rico's not a different country, though. They're ours.
But it's the same idea of overspending and then bailouts. I don't know, Alan, that you can't achieve a lot of the things that you achieve in the EU just through, if you didn't have an actual entity, I don't know that you couldn't achieve that through just, cooperation among the banks and the member states. The way they were before.
Yeah, cooperation amongst the banks. That's a scary thought.
No, but
look at Wall Street.
It's the banks that are propping. It's the sovereign wealth funds and the banks that are propping up the EU right now. It's the international banks. I mean, that right? Isn't that's what's keeping it afloat?
I'm simply saying that I'm listening to the people that I respect the most, the experts that I respect the most, and they almost unanimously, with your exception. Believe that this is suicide, economic suicide.
Yeah, I believe it too.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll finish up, and we haven't talked to presidential politics yet. We still have to get into that.
Oh boy.
We've got to talk about
Wiener.
Oh, we'll talk about Wiener as well.
Oh, that's presidential
and that's a politician. Yes. We'll be back right after this.
Support comes from Skidmore College announcing summer at Skidmore programs and events with Skidmore Jazz Institute, Dakota Chamber Music Institute, and Doug Barone Dancers Workshop, skidmore.edu/summer. H. Houst & Son True Value Woodstock, since 1932, a store for summer projects, grills, and party supplies. True value behind every project is a true value. hhoust.com. The Vascular Group, specializing in vascular health with 10 locations in upstate New York, bringing internationally recognized care to your hometown, albanyvascular.com. And from Mark Lawson Antiques, Saratoga Springs and Colony, New York, purchasing jewelry and diamonds, coin collections, Chinese and Asian antiques, fine art, and estates, 518-587-8787.
got a piece of paper in my hand here that the lockbox is doing well. I had a nice weekend.
What do we got to?
$170,706.
Now, we desperately need to get to $400,000.
Yes.
This is when everybody has to get going. I'm just simply saying, if you think somebody else is going to do it, I hope you don't think that, because it's not going to happen. We made $400,000 the last time. We've got to equal that. If everybody just did a little, and there are so many people who are listening to us right now, just the people who listen to this one program could do it.
A dollar a piece?
No, because then we would be down and out.
I thought 400,000 people listen to the show.
That, not to the show. 400,000 people listen to this radio station every month.
Okay.
That's a lot of people.
Okay.
Nevertheless, a dollar means by the time you get done with the mailing and everything, you owe people money.
Okay, so $100. Right.
And you have to make it up in volume.
Well, I didn't say 100, but...
But that would be nice, wouldn't it?
No, but the main thing is let's just do it.
If you do $100, you get the vote package, which is the mug and the T-shirt that say "Vote for WAMC."
Joel wrote to us and he said from Port Jervis.
No,
we're not doing letters right now, but this letter is on point.
All right.
He said to all the WAMC listeners, "This fun drive, I'm upping my pledge," and he says, "Up yours."
God, that would be a T-shirt, wouldn't it? That would be great. All right, so we want to get
well done.
We have a $5,000 challenge on the table by Tony Miola, and which means that we get $5,000 if we make it to $400,000, which, as Alan just indicated, we did 1 year ago in June.
One drive ago, I believe, wasn't it?
It was end of the year.
Okay.
So
okay. All right, then, but what do you get?
Well, you get the vote package.
Well, what's that?
I just discussed it.
Could you do it again?
Where were you?
Okay, you get this. It was so pro forma, you know what I mean?
Get
this beautiful, beautiful shirt.
The shirt, and it says "Vote for WAMC." There's the black T-shirt and the white mug with black lettering that says "Vote for WAMC," which, of course, has that double meaning of, you know, vote for us and show your support for the station.
Right.
But also, if you go out and vote, do it for WAMC and for the betterment of our society that we live in. All right. We are at $170,706, so we'll watch those numbers rise pretty quickly, and that'll be all good stuff.
And you get the mug and you get the shirt, right? Did you mention that?
Someone did.
Hey, let's talk about Bernie Sanders.
Hey, Lolly Low.
Is there anyone who he seems to be more ticked off at than Hillary Clinton is Debbie Wasserman Schultz. So now is in a squabble with the DNC. Said that if he were president, that he would replace her as the chair of the DNC. Feels that he is not getting a fair shake. And then continues to up his attacks against Hillary Clinton, and became quite outraged when Hillary Clinton, during an interview with CNN on Friday, said, "Look, I'm going to be the nominee."
Isn't she allowed to say that? I mean,
isn't she
allowed to think she's going to win? Right?
Well, I would think so, but
right?
But uh-huh. Apparently he.
Well, she's got enough votes.
Close.
Last time we talked, she was within 100 delegates.
But everybody, I mean, up until the time they give their concession speech, up until four minutes before that, everybody thinks they're going to win.
Now, you know what?
She's allowed to say that.
You know what? Yeah, she is. You know what? I get the right to say something here because I voted for Bernie. Now, you know, in town meeting, you're only allowed to ask for reconsideration if you are on the winning side. You know about that?
I did not know
that.
You know,
Robert's rules, I believe, that they operate under. I voted for Bernie, and I'm telling you now, I will be deeply disappointed in this man who I like so much, have interviewed hundreds of times, if in fact he leads to the election of Donald Trump.
Well, that's going to be his legacy. They're talking, this article in the Times talks about his legacy. His legacy will be Donald Trump if he doesn't get out there and support Hillary and stop the attacks. You know, every single attack just, you know, doesn't help. I don't know if it weakens, but it certainly doesn't help. And he needs to recognize reality. There's no way mathematically he can become the nominee. He needs to go into that convention with a call of unity. Otherwise, his legacy will be Donald Trump.
Now, the Wasserman Schultz thing is very interesting. You know, he doesn't like her. He's supporting her, her primary opponent.
That's right.
Yes.
And it doesn't make a lot of sense because it detracts from his message.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, he's very angry, and he's acting out of anger instead of acting out of trying to move the country forward. By this time, he knows he can't win. So by this time, he should be bringing his followers along in terms of being part of the Democratic Party and making sure Donald Trump doesn't get elected.
Rich, you were going to say something?
Well, no. Look, first of all, this is not my dispute, right? This is you know, in somebody else's house. But
we weigh in on your disputes.
Yeah, going to be in your house.
So as an observer, I actually thought that by moving his attack to Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and by the way, if you're on the right. I mean, Bernie Sanders versus, you know, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, that's like Iran versus Iraq. Like, you kind of just hope they both lose, but if you're on the right wing. But,
Right.
Because, whatever. But he's not really attacking Hillary. Those are two not well-respected people from the right. Let's put it that way. But he's not really attacking Hillary. He's attacking the system, which I think everybody's acknowledged is a little, probably needs some tweaking and is not a terribly fair system. I don't even think the Hillary supporters are very supportive of the whole superdelegate system. Are they?
I haven't heard anything to the contrary.
You know, the fact is that the party made the rules to guarantee that whoever gets the most votes will end up being the nominee and that there won't be what's happened on the Republican side. I think every single Republican in the leadership of the party right now is wishing they had superdelegates.
And we're so glad they don't.
And I'm going to move it back just a little bit, but it just seems that to Libby's point, if Bernie Sanders is moving into a direction of getting ready to endorse or at least unify the party, going on ABC a week before the California primary and saying that Hillary Clinton is the lesser of two evils doesn't seem to be the way to do it.
Well, doesn't he want to go into the convention? And I'm not defending him, but I would think he wants to go into the convention with the greatest amount of power. And that means having the greatest amount of votes and the greatest amount of leverage and the greatest amount of influence. But I'd be surprised if he came out of the convention not a Hillary supporter.
Well, what if you were surprised?
Oh, well, then that's on him.
In other words,
that's on him.
Well,
okay.
That's easy for you to say. You're an ascribed right-winger. You know it. You've said it. You've admitted it. You should be ashamed of it, but you are. And therefore, you know, everything you say to me is suspect because of the possibility that that you're just trying to mess things up for the Democrats.
I agree that it would certainly make things tougher for the Democrats. I think you guys would be surprised if Bernie did not get on board by the end of that convention.
Well, I agree.
I know you're worried about it.
He will.
No, I think
he will, but he should do it now.
But what about even Robert Reich said over the weekend that... let people vote. Let people do it. Let the democracy take over. But it's the verbal attacks against her that are taking place now, and the support and the people that are saying that they won't support Hillary, they will support Trump, and that point being that for the sake of the Democratic Party, that it is important for him to dial it back.
And he will. And when's the convention? July. Okay. So, I mean, it's an eternity in media speak between the convention and the general
election. But don't you understand that Joe's point is that what happens now can influence the outcome of the whole shebang?
I understand, but don't you remember? I mean, Bush made the voodoo economics remark about Reagan, and it didn't affect Reagan. And actually, Bush ended up being the vice presidential choice. Remember, that one kept coming back to him.
By the way, is Bill Weld a good third-party candidate in the Libertarian Party?
I just think it speaks of his particular state of mind right now. I watched Bill Weld, liked him a lot when he was governor of Massachusetts. But he does flit around from one thing to another. And I think right now he's desirous of a little public attention.
Yeah,
there is no third. There is no good third party candidate, right? I mean, there's no sense to being a third party candidate unless you want to
ruin things like Ralph Nader did.
Right.
Or Russ Perot.
We are John Anderson. We'll be we're out of time.
Whispering John Anderson.
We are out of time.
I'm crazy general.
Alan, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Rich will be back on Friday. Libby will be back on Wednesday, and we'll continue the program after this short break.